RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 152 with guest Robert Crane, recorded Thursday, March 4th, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you very much, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hello. How's it going?
I am well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. It's actually kind of a rough day today. I raced back here. One of our dogs is in surgery
now.
Something happened to his eye. Yeah, so
that's
it's been
bad.
These Murphy's Law days are a little bit rough. So hopefully he's gonna.
They've been hitting you hard today, I think. Well, I hope your dog is all right.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm just suffering from allergies. It's springtime early in Vancouver, and so I've been. You're getting the slightly antihistamine version of me.
Yeah. Rough around the edges and smoothed out a little bit by medication.
Yeah, yeah. More power through chemistry. Today's Run As Radio podcast is sponsored by Microsoft Canada's Energize IT, Anything is Possible program, an exclusive Canadian program developed to support technical professionals. Learn more about the Energize IT program and its complimentary offerings at www.energizeit.ca, including Microsoft-sponsored events, community-hosted events, install fests for Office 2010, scheduled in the spring of 2010, along with additional podcasts. Reserve your seat today at www.energizeit.ca. Let's introduce our guest. Robert Crane has a degree in electrical engineering as well as a master's in business administration. He's also a small business specialist and Microsoft certified SharePoint professional. He has over 15 years of IT experience in a variety of fields and positions, including working on Wall Street in New York. He was the co-founder of the Saturn Alliance and IT systems integration business in Sydney, Australia. He continues his involvement in the information technology fields as the principal of the Computer Information Agency, CIA. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Yes, good morning. I hope you can all understand my accent from this side of the world.
We translate Australian just fine up here.
Oh, that's good to hear.
We do all of our best commercials in Australian here.
Well, we send you all of our best actors, so that probably balances it out.
It's only fair.
So you're a SharePoint guy.
Yeah. Basically, I started using SharePoint, you know, a number of years ago in version 2 with Small Business Server, and then began to see the potential of the product. And then, as time's gone by, have decided to focus, you know, a lot of energy into that area because I think there's a huge amount of potential, and a lot of it remains untapped at this stage.
Cool. You know, I've used SharePoint in every iteration since the pre-release beta of 2001, where we built an extranet around it, and that was not the easiest version to build an extranet around. So SharePoint's something that I've sort of lived and probably, fair to say, bled for the last several years. Richard, what do you think about having a conversation about the trials and tribulations of SharePoint? It seems, you know, people like to complain about it, yet they say it's really useful.
Well, you can't argue with the adoption numbers. SharePoint is everywhere.
Because isn't it everywhere, but it's also kind of nowhere? And by that, what I mean is it's so hard to build a SharePoint infrastructure carefully and the right way, if there is a right way. That might be a good question, but to the point where it really is gets used to its full advantage or where it's usable. See, I've seen a lot of SharePoint deployments that are very much point solutions and end up being these islands of information that nobody can find.
Robert?
I think the analogy I would give to you is basically look at the history of the spreadsheet. When spreadsheets first came out, corporate accounting and accounts people hated them because they weren't standard systems. They didn't allow, the standard double-sided ledger, but users used them. They went berserk. They created huge amounts of information that they stored in files all over the place, and it's just that they found it as a tool that suited, them really well. Now, 15, 20 years down the track, guess what? We've still got spreadsheets. People are still using them in the same way, and they provide functionality that effectively they're on every single desktop you'd find. Now, you know, eventually I see that SharePoint probably offers something very similar along those lines.
I guess what I'm wondering is, I've worked in enterprises. I work in enterprises right now, enterprise, you know, environments right now where, you know, people want to collaborate. They want to have places to share information. Maybe it's just that SharePoint just invites, by its nature, sort of an organic lack of consistency. So if you're thinking SharePoint, let's say, for example, that I have an enterprise SharePoint or a company SharePoint infrastructure, or I might be at a company that has, you know, various different, you know, point solutions, implementations, departmental or what have of SharePoint, and I want to try to improve on my ability to really leverage it well to collaborate and share information. Are there any tricks or ideas or thoughts or practices that you can maybe talk about to help me and other people do that?
I think it comes down to, look, it's all common sense. I mean, you know, the first major thing is that, you know, simplicity, you know, keep it simple. The simpler it is, you know, the more obvious it is, the easier it is for people to work with. And again, I'd point back to the spreadsheet analogy. You know, a simple spreadsheet is much easier to work with as something that, you know, is very complex. I think on the other side of the coin is that, you know, SharePoint is for solving business problems. It's not necessarily just a technical tool. So people that do implement it, people that do work with it, people that do support it need to not only understand the technical side, they need to understand the business functionality that it can provide for the users, because they're the people who are going to be using it. They're the people that are going to be working with it day to day and creating the information. If they can't come to you as a technical person and sort of say, look, how do I do this? They're going to work it out themselves and create something that may not be correct. But like I said, once it's done, it's done. So I think that in a lot of cases, it comes down to what they call governance. Governance is all about basically sitting down and working out what you want before you start plowing ahead, and doing it as a stage, you know, stage rollout. So like I said, I think that, you know, the common sense should prevail. If you've already got an instance where it is getting out of control, it's just a matter of, you know, you have to sit down and put good governance in and say, look, you know, this is the way things are going to proceed, because it's a business problem rather than a technology problem, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, data and document and, you know, information taxonomy is important, and it's nice to talk about if you haven't quite started yet, right? But once you're already out there and doing that, unraveling, you know, SharePoint implementations is can be pretty complicated and messy, I would think.
Well, I agree with you, but again, let's step back and look at the other tools that are on your desktop. Look at the email. I mean, email is out of control. You've got people with thousands of items in their inbox strewn all over the place,
sure,
you know, CCing lots and lots of people. Like, again, it's not necessarily just the SharePoint. Again, SharePoint provides a tool. It's how people use it. Now, you know, people can use it correctly or people can use it with good governance, but it also provides, because it's neutral, the ability to use it incorrectly or to use it inappropriately. So I don't think it's just necessarily a SharePoint issue. I think, for example, probably the biggest issue is that people don't understand it going into it. You know, I haven't seen many cases where staff or whatever have been trained in it. I haven't seen many cases where IT resellers and people who implement it actually understand both the technical and the business. There's not been, I believe, a lot of good information flowing from Microsoft about their product, because perhaps they don't really understand, you know, what it's been able to achieve for people out in the field. So it may sound trite, but the bottom line is the better you know your product, the better you're going to be able to implement it. And I think that's perhaps where it's falling down, that people aren't investing that time up front. And obviously the results, you know, indicate that in a lot of cases.
And it happens to be, and this is largely coincidental, but it works out quite well, that your company, Computer Information Agency, makes a Windows SharePoint operations guide.
Well, again, this is what I started off with is when I got into SharePoint, you know, I started to look for information about the product and technical solutions, and, you know, it wasn't all in one location, or it wasn't all, you know, in a couple of locations. So I started to pull it together for my own notes, because, you know, I can't remember it all. And then as I found discussing it with people, they said, well, you know, I'd love to get into SharePoint, but I need to understand more of it. So, well, you know, here's some information here. I'll start putting it together on a regular basis. And from there, it's grown to the fact where it's, like I said, it's a subscription-based service and I update it regularly every month. And again, it basically, it's a shortcut for most people working with the product that they can get up to speed very quickly and find all the information in one location rather than having to troll through lots of blogs and knowledge-based articles.
And what I hear you saying here is the bottom line is that you can make a mess with this tool like you make a mess with any tool, and it's up to discipline to keep it tidy.
Exactly right. And again, I'll point back to the email situation. I mean, look, email is probably the biggest revolution that's happened technology-wise. It's also the most common application you'll find. But I would suggest that most people's email boxes are out of control. They've got more than they can deal with. They don't know how to sort them. They're holding them on. They're using the Outlook as a to-do list, a reminders, calendar, all sorts of things that it may not have been designed for. So they're comfortable with their tool. That works well for them. That's the way they use it. Should they be using it that way? Probably not, but they are. And I think in a lot of cases, SharePoint perhaps is again, it's just a tool. And if not, people aren't given that instruction up front, then they're going to use it the best way they see fit.
So what are the two or three biggest mistakes not to make when it comes to deciding how to use or implementing or leveraging SharePoint?
I think that the first major one is that in any business you need, if you're a reseller, you need a business champion. You need someone from the business who's prepared to stick their neck out and say, look, no, this is the way it needs to be done. We want to use this as a product. We want to make sure we get the right results. They're the people that are going to drive it internally. So you need an internal product champion. I think the second thing is probably you need to sit down and say, well, hang on, what do we want to achieve with this? Now, what are the top three or four things that we immediately need to achieve with this, and let's achieve that? I think that too many people try and come up with a castle strategy. A castle strategy is fantastic to defend your town, provided you get all four walls up in time before the enemy arrives.
Right.
This day and age in IT, things change so rapidly that I don't think that's necessarily the way to go. I think it's a matter of let's take the small wins, let's build up what needs to happen and prove the worth of the product and learn some stuff along the way rather than trying to build some huge monstrosity that in the end doesn't work because of one minor oversight. So again, I think there's those two things from a business side. And I think on the technical side, again, it's a matter of looking at the product that's available, the functionality. Again, there's a number of different versions of SharePoint from Windows SharePoint all up to SharePoint Server Enterprise. Again, there's different costs involved in that. And it's a matter of saying what product suits our needs. And again, then learning the full functionality of that product so that they can implement it and get a return on investment. Because at the end of the day, it's no use implementing anything unless it makes more money than it costs. So really, it comes down to a business decision. Is this, generating us more profit or reducing our expenses to cover what we've paid out for the product? And I think, again, that's what a lot of people get lost on. They look at the product and say, this is fantastic. This is great. I love this product. It does this. It does this. Look at this. Look at this. At the end of the day, if it doesn't make you money, it's a waste of time.
Robert, what do you see new in SharePoint 2010 that's sort of addressing this issue? Are we getting more structure in the product to help protect from losing things and making a mess?
Well, I think that perhaps what you're seeing with SharePoint 2010 is a consistency of interface with the Microsoft Office products. So again, you get far more functionality when you build a solution in SharePoint that's based around using the product with Office. So integration with Outlook, integration with Excel, integration with Word and whatnot. Now with the change to the ribbon interface in Office 2007, we're now seeing that in SharePoint 2010. So again, now there'll be this consistency of interface, consistency of ribbons, consistency of tabs so that users are not as confused moving between a SharePoint solution on the web and a Office one that they may be using on their desktop. So again, I think it's all about, they talk about seamless integration that again, you think of SharePoint as a tool to assist with the use of Office. So I think that's probably the biggest advantage. The other thing that I think is the important thing with SharePoint is its search. I think search is the most underutilized factor of any SharePoint solution. We use, you know, lots and lots of search engines on the internet, many different brands and kinds to find what we want. My question to many businesses is, well, what do you use internally to find your information? How do you search that one word in that document? How can you put your finger on that? Well, guess what? A SharePoint solution can do that for you. And again, I think a lot of people overlook that. And again, the people who are smart, the people who use SharePoint as correctly as a tool are looking to it and saying, look, you know, search is the critical aspect of what we need inside our business.
So are the things we should be doing with the search tool, I can't remember the name of it, for our SharePoint, to make sure we get good results with it?
Well, I think, again, it's a little bit of an immature technology, but what you're seeing is you know, on the there is a what's called a Search Server Express. That's been out in the version 2008, but there's a new version 2010. So that can be combined with Windows SharePoint, the low-end version, to allow you to search information within SharePoint, but also across network shares and public folders. And on the commercial products, the SharePoint server and the enterprise server, you're seeing Microsoft begin to implement its fast search technology. So again, everything that I've read and seem to hear about the fast search is that it's very, very powerful technology. Very, very quick, and, you know, gives great responses. So again, I think people look at it and say, look, you know, it just becomes another bucket into which I tip my information.
Right.
My contention would be, yeah, sure, that's great, but it's no use tipping things into a bucket unless you can go and get them. And search is really what you need to be able to extract that information and work a lot smarter than potentially you are at the moment.
Well, and you said product champion, but it sounds almost like we need a librarian who's, you know, walking around the aisles, picking up the books that have been left on the floor and, you know, making sure people are using the product correctly.
Well, I think that there's it comes down to this one. I think that the reality is that you need to make somebody responsible for SharePoint. But I think that you may need to make a team member of a SharePoint subsite responsible for their SharePoint, you know. So again, it doesn't have to fall on a single person. I think that it's a matter of, you know, imagine it like, you know, the dishes in the kitchen. You know, wherever you go, you always see a sign saying, you know, make sure you clean up after yourself and wash up because nobody else is going to do it. Mm-hmm. Those kitchens are generally tidy and well kept. The kitchens that don't have that sign have their stuff all over the place. So again, it's part of a culture thing is to say, well, hang on, information in this business is of value. You know, I think that's what a lot of people overlook. They have this huge volume of information and they just, oh, this is files and folders. But hang on, this is the knowledge of your business. You know, you need to treat it with respect because each bit and byte in there potentially can generate us revenue. So we need to treat that with the respect that it's due. And unfortunately, when you don't, then you suffer the consequences.
Do you have stories? I mean, do you have experience working with organizations that have done this well? And if so, what have you seen or observed that they did differently, whether it was individuals or the company as a whole? What made them successful? What was the special sauce, if you will, to their success?
I think it comes down to that, firstly, that they, you know, set limited goals, as we talked about. You know, they say we need to achieve, you know, A, B, and C. We might have A through Z, but I want to achieve just these three outcomes.
Right. Don't boil
the ocean.
Thing
you've got to, sorry?
Don't try to boil the ocean, in other words, right?
Yeah, basically, I think, again, it's like, it's such a new tool. It's so radical. It's so different from so many things that businesses may have seen before and users may not be familiar with. So again, it's a matter of, well, hang on, let's endear it into our culture. And I think it's also, again, a matter of, you know, I think one of the things that I tell people is that, well, When people come looking for information, your first response or anybody's first response should be go and look in SharePoint, do a search in SharePoint. If you need to find something on the internet, where do you go? You go to a search engine. The same thing should be the same within your business. You know, anything that we need should be in SharePoint. If it's not there, then we need to put it in there. So again, they see it as a critical part of their business. And again, they treat their information as having value rather than just being files and folders. And I think that, again, like any decent IT project, it's just a matter of setting a goal and working towards it and then, again, you know, having regular feedback. But it's important that these companies generally involve their users. So again, they're not kept out of the loop. They feel involved, and they're encouraged to use the tool. So again, some of the best suggestions about using SharePoint come from the most unlikely quarters, and that's typically what generates success in SharePoint, is that the people who use it on the line, on the coalface, tell you what you want, and you give them the authority, or you help them build what they need with this tool.
Now, to be fair, SharePoint is pushing 10 years old now. After 5-6 versions of it, it's got to be getting mature by now.
Well, I think, again, it depends what your definition of maturity is. You would say the same thing about a spreadsheet or a word processor.
Right.
Again, it comes down to how you use the tool. Now, you know, for many years, I could basically probably do everything I need to do in a spreadsheet. I could use it as a word processor. I can use it as a database. I can use it for a lot of things. But again, what's the best tool? What saves me the time? What allows me to collaborate and share information with other people? Again, it's a matter of using the tool that suits that need best. And the big thing about SharePoint, I think, that a lot of people overlook is its ability to be deployed from the cloud. Of course, it's a web-based application. You know, you can deploy it straight out via an extranet, or you can consume it from one of the web services out there. So again, it's a product that's, you know, if we're moving to cloud computing, if everything's suddenly going online,
right?
Well, guess what? SharePoint's already on there, and SharePoint's already got the facility to run on a mobile device, already out of the box. So again, you talk about a product that's maturing, but again, it's maturing in the right way. It's going to where users need the product, I believe.
And I do buy into this idea that tech folks especially like to figure out a hammer and make everything a nail. And so they honestly try to use SharePoint for too much. This idea of a closer in utilization of it. It made more sense to me when it was just an office portal, a place to put office documents by project rather than by file.
Yeah, that's true. Look, you've got your basic file system, but hang on. Let's step back from this. The issue is that most users use and consume information completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's looking for one product on the internet doesn't type in the same search. So again, the way that people look at data and consume data and understand data is very different from, you know, person to person, from team to team. And I think that's got a lot to do with it. That's the power of SharePoint, is its flexibility to be able to display the information you want. But again, you can easily, you know, put another layer over it and show it to a different group of people, same information, but you can show it to them in a different way. So, I mean, that gives you a lot of power, which you can't do with something like a file system.
So do you see that when organizations use search, and I'll add in their workflow?
I think, yeah, workflow is the other key component that is generally overlooked. You know, one of the best books that I've ever read is, you know, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. You can look at success of companies like, you know, McDonald's, Starbucks. Again, they create policies and procedures, and they systemize their processes. So again, it's a matter of saying, well, hang on, we do this thing the same way every time. Why don't we automate it so we don't make the same mistakes, or so we get a consistent output? I think, again, you know, people who are still using spreadsheets potentially to do their accounts, you know, it still works, but obviously they may be spending twice as long as if they, you know, were using a dedicated program. So again, it's a matter of companies looking at it and saying, well, you know, how can we be more productive? How can we, you know, reduce our expenditure? And I think too many people and too many businesses tend to look at things and say, well, you know, we're fine the way we are, or, you know, they don't set a defined goal and they don't get the metrics back to say, well, hang on, we are actually saving an hour a day, or this process is now taking us less time than it did before. And again, workflow is a great example of that, that you can, you know, add something to a document library and that kicks off a process that follows through and can be fully audited.
Well, and it starts applying more structure that's specific to the business, so sort of enforced governance around your SharePoint app.
Well, I think, again, the idea is done right, done correctly, done once. Why would you ever need to do it again? I think that's, again, it's a matter of, you know, like compound interest. Compound interest pays off, you know, in the future. It's a matter of making investment up front. A little time up front can have a huge dividend way down the track. But again, too many people perhaps are keen to charge in and, oh, we can use this, we can change this, we want this to look like this, and, you know, this would be great, and before you know it, it's out of control. And I think one of the best analogies I've heard is, you know, SharePoint's like paint. You can give it to a five-year-old or you can give it to a virtuoso. Still the same product, but you can end up with very different results.
So I understand the, you know, do it right up front, do it once. But what about change? I mean, I work in an organization and I've worked in organizations where massive organizational, data structural, acquisition and divestment types of change happen. And planning it once doesn't always work. What are the practices? What are the tools? What are the thoughts and ideas that you have when it comes to dealing with information, organizational, business change, you know, once you've built it once?
Well, I think the thing is as you can appreciate that, you know, it's always going to be an ongoing process. It doesn't matter what the tool is. It's always going to be an ongoing process that needs to be, you know, adjusted and changed along the way. But the good thing is with SharePoint is, for example, let's say that, you know, you acquire a new customer or you acquire a new entity in a field. So, you know, if Australia, for example, was to launch a takeover of New Zealand and we needed to include them as one of our states, in SharePoint, we can just pop in there and add that extra item into our selection of a state.
I just heard several million Kiwis' heads all explode at once.
No, that's all right. I'm sure that they'll defeat us in rugby. They're beating us at the moment at cricket. So, look, you've got to take every chance.
I should point out to you, Robert, I was born in New Zealand, actually.
We have no issue at all. I think it's great that we live so close together. And, like I said, you know, there's always a nice rivalry between us. But, you know, part of my job as an Australian is to make sure that, you know, I keep the tally running on my side.
Right. I think we're going to have to end up in a rugby discussion at some point too, then.
That's fine. I think that, like I said, you know, getting back to the focus is that, you know, change is an inevitable part of business. But I think the good thing about SharePoint is that it accommodates change. It's like a spreadsheet. If you need to make a change to an in-house accounting system that's written on a mainframe, you know, how easy is that to change? But again, look at a spreadsheet. You can just pop in and make that change. Now, there are good sides and there are downsides to both of it. But again, it doesn't preclude the fact that good planning and good, you know, good governance should be above all. But again, I think that the advantage that SharePoint provides is its flexibility. And again, if you want to, you could prototype an error. You could run it up in some other location and do a test. You could do a test migration. You can do all sorts of options with that, but that doesn't magically mean that SharePoint's going to solve all those change issues that any business struggles with. But I think that at the bottom line is it provides, I found, and customers I've worked with have found that it provides far more flexibility to accommodate that change than other products that are about.
Robert, we're just about out of time. Any tools we could point people to understand how to take care of their SharePoints more responsibly?
Well, I think, look, there's plenty of stuff out there on the internet. Unfortunately, it's not in one location. I would think that, you know, you're looking at something, the major word that's used by those in the know, you know, more experienced than me in these sort of high-end installations is governance. So again, if you run a standard search on SharePoint governance, I'm sure that you'll find a whole list of, you know, checklists and things to follow up. I suppose the other thing is if people aren't using it, my simple advice would be is you can't sell it, you can't support it until you actually use it. So it's very cheap and very simple to get a test implementation or get something deployed across the cloud, at least on a 30-day trial. Get a feel for the product, see what it's like, see what it does, see if it works in your business. If it doesn't, that's fine. But again, I think that, you know, the more people see it, the more people begin to appreciate it, the more that they will like the product.
Is it legitimate to suggest that, you know, if you do the 30-day implementation, be willing to flush that down the toilet, if you will, and understand that you're going to learn things about your business and the process that you probably really should be incorporating into maybe a final deployment?
Well, I think the bottom line is you don't know unless you try it. And then I think that, again, another thing I would point to, the good thing about SharePoint is that, you know, the Windows SharePoint, the very basic product is a free download from Microsoft. There's no cost involved in getting it up and running. Effectively, if you've got a Windows server, and you can always do it on a 180-day trial in a you know, Hyper-V machine. So again, there should be no excuse to evaluating the product and seeing if it can fulfill what you need. And sure, there's a bit of work involved in there. It may not be for you, but what I'm finding is that, you know, more and more people are wanting to understand what it is, but unless you can tell them, unless you can show them, that's where they're always going to struggle. So again, it does take a bit of knowledge to do that. So again, seek out the professional who knows SharePoint and look at doing something in-house just to get a feel for it is my recommendation.
Robert Crane, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Robert.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.